Good day. This is Stephen C. Johnson, blogging at LandingStripEnterprises.com. Today's blog is called Bathrobes. We start with a quiz. True or false? The disciples walked about in bathrobes because they were too lazy to change into street clothes. True or false? John the Baptist was a wild, crass, hillbilly of a man. True or false? Many people in America wear pants with holes around the knees because they are of the poorer class and must work on their hands and knees for a living. I'd like to talk to you about John the Baptist, starting with his status. John was born with a silver spoon. You remember his father Zechariah was a priest who served in the magnificent temple. John was born in the priestly line. That speaks volumes. The priests were the social standard makers, religious litmus test takers, the civil, legal judges of the day. John was born into an elite class with the highest social rank. He was probably better educated than 95% of the nation. In terms of religious recognition, John was born at the crest of the hill. Economically, he was probably in the upper class, for priests had financial benefits, others did not. The truth is that John had it all: status, education, and most likely wealth. John's repudiation. Like his father, John's birthright was to serve at the temple. There was one problem. John came to despise the corruption in the organized religion of the day. He saw most of the priests and religious leaders as slime balls, hypocrites, widow robbers, and false teachers leading a nation away from God into dead ritual. John repudiated the abuses of the priestly class and abandoned the option of being among the elites. He walked away from the magnificence of the temple service, the intelligentsia, with their heady theological conversations, social commentary, the arrogance, hypocrisy, and duplicity. He would not tolerate the degradation he saw there. John was so disgusted he turned his back on it all. He traded in the priestly garments and dressed in leathers. He no longer ate from the temple cafeteria, but scavenged food in the wilderness. Israel had found God in the wilderness. God could again be found there. John's spirituality. John's father was not just a priest. He stood out as a godly priest who had met the angel Gabriel in the temple. John had been raised with that story, that impartation. If ever a child had a sense of destiny and calling. John's young spirit had been seated with, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High." John's message. John was not as harsh as he was convicted. Convicted to the reality the nation was lost and in desperate straits. It needed a radical turnaround. John's strident message came with revelation of a great alarm, and the alarm needed to be sounded. He warned of a fire torching and an axe hacking. He did not want his people to experience those things, because he had the heart of a priest. He would rally the people back to God and to the mercies received in repentance. There was something else, a message of messianic weight. It was not just repent or you will be burned and hacked, but repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Something monumental was about to take place. God was about to act. He would not be distant, but present. All should be aware, because when the king takes decisive action, heads will roll, and comfort will come to the oppressed. That message stirred the nation, and hundreds of thousands of people made the trek to the wilderness, for they saw that John had the heart of a priest, but the voice of a prophet. In those multitudes was the fear of God and anticipation of an amazing, disruptive future. John radically changed his associations, his clothes, his diet, his mailing address, and of course, his message. Things change when men and women are gripped with the kingdom. This is Stephen C. Johnson at LandingStripEnterprises.com.